Christ was warning his disciples of what to watch for, what to look for. As we press toward the mark of the high calling of God, as we press toward that mark, I believe that the scriptures, especially, more especially the New Testament, is full of pressing.
Yeah.
You can do it. Keep going. You can do it. You're almost there. We just finished with the Olympics, and I didn't watch much of it. I enjoyed some of it. Those graceful athletes are amazing to me. And they didn't get the way they were by sitting on a stool.
That's right.
They didn't get there by laying on a couch and watching TV. They got there by getting in there and working at it.
Yeah.
And getting in shape. And their intent was to press toward a mark. We call it a finish line.
Yeah.
But it was to press toward that mark for the prize. Now don't think of a prize for us as something that we have earned. You've just heard who earned the prize.
That's right. Amen.
But there's and this is not my subject, but there's rewards in this world.
Yeah.
In fact, the Word of God tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God.
Yeah.
For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder.
Yeah.
Of them that diligently seek him. There's rewards.
Right.
There's rewards along life's journey. God's the giver of the reward. He's the judge. But the Apostle Paul, just on face value, would sound as if he's boastful when he made the statement, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course." And he made this statement. But before I get to that, I want to go back to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it was quoted yesterday. And maybe I'll start with this, because our ultimate example, which I hope to get to in a moment, our ultimate example is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is our trainer.
Yes.
He is our example in the Word of God. You say, "Well, I can't meet up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't meet up to the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, he knows that. I know that. You know that. He knows that. But he's, as you just heard, he's quite compassionate and merciful. But his admonition to us is, watch. Look. Love. And press. When he's writing to the, let me get the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this verse was quoted yesterday by one of the ministers in John chapter 14, I believe it is, about verse 12. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go into my Father." And it was explained very clearly yesterday. That's not talking about quality. That's talking about quantity. That's talking about the works that would declare him, the works that would be moved by the Spirit through the apostles, through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope through you and me that would declare him. Multitudes of works have been performed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Understand that it's not that we do greater in quality, but we do greater in number. And I think the apostles were charged to lead the to start the race, as it were. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was established and made very clear how God would be worshipped, how it pleased God to be worshipped. And God is not to be worshipped with man's hands. It's very simple that God seeketh such to worship him who doth worship him in spirit, even in truth, or and in truth. That is a true, sincere spirit that seeks and earnestly seeks God. Now, the apostles were charged to go and led by the Spirit of God to establish the New Testament church, and they were examples to us also. How that God can and does work through us. Now, I realize in the beginning, even in the beginning of the apostles' life, there were, if you'll allow me to say it this way, extraordinary gifts given to the apostles, a power of the Holy Ghost to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to give the blind their sight back, and etc. I realize that even the shadow of the apostle Peter going by would heal. They even brought aprons to the apostle, one of the apostle Peter, for healing. But my friends, that time was gone even before the apostles lost their life, even before the apostles went to sleep. That time was finished with, and the church was established. Evidence that God was in it, that's what they were given for. Those extraordinary gifts were given for the establishment of the New Testament church. Evidence that God was in it. But when the church got established, then you know, you realize, as the brother stated, when you realize the vanity of man, if they still had those power to heal,
right,
the vanity of man, they'd have stuck together and still be here. That's how vain man is. I'll stay with you and heal you if you'll stay with me and heal me, and we'll just take care of each other. They'd still be here. God was finished with that sign. Even before the finishing of the apostles' lives.
Right.
And besides, they wasn't allowed to use it at their own discretion. It was to be used to God's glory at the time that the Holy Spirit moved them to do so. Now, the ultimate example is declared to us, a warning of the Lord Jesus Christ and kingdom life. Watch and be sober. There'll be false prophets and false teachers among you that will come to you in sheep's clothing. They're ravening wolves. And all they're out for is to deceive and to destroy. There's warnings in the Scripture. If you're going to follow Christ, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, it's not sunshine and roses. Following Christ is not a stroll in the park. Following the Christ is guaranteed sufferings, afflictions, rejections, and etc. And the apostle Paul told the young minister, Timothy, that the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou. Here's your job, Paul's telling the young minister Timothy. Here's what I'm charging you to do. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. If you told a person you need to follow the Lord, it's a blessed life. It has joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. Following the Lord has unsurmountable blessings. There's peace and there's joy following the Lord. And then throw in but guaranteed afflictions. Then that makes for hesitation, you see. There's guaranteed sufferings. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. You see, I don't get up every morning and look forward to suffering. Whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, it doesn't matter. I don't look forward to sufferings. But if a person's going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to stand for right, I'll say this to these young men. If you're going to stand for right, Brother Chris, if you're going to stand for right, somebody's going to make fun of you.
That's right.
But don't feel bad. They did the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather suffer afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what Moses said. I'm telling you, my friends, following the Lord is guaranteed suffering. But it's a good suffering.
Yeah.
It's a good suffering. Here's what the here's what the Apostle Peter, in writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is who he's writing to, and it does me well. I trust it does you well if you do it. Put yourself on the scene at the time, at the place, in the environment of which these epistles were written.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Some of them are quite joyful to have yourself on the scene. I mean, I've gone with Peter from the housetop to Cornelius' house.
Right.
And I'll tell you what Cornelius' yard looks like. That's right. I've been there. There's a white picket fence along right out in front of Cornelius'. Now, I realize this is foolishness, but if you put yourself on the scene, you begin to see things.
Yeah.
Some of them, maybe not so real, but many of them will come. It will bring it to fact to you.
Right.
And you can somewhat experience it. I encourage you to go to Calvary.
Yeah. Amen.
I encourage you to go to Calvary, friends. Observe that for a while.
Yeah.
That'll take you to your knees.
Amen.
But the Apostle Peter is writing to the elect of God. And I don't have time to get into all of it, but he says, God has called you to be a follower of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to suffer for his name's sake, to suffer for his cause's sake. And he says, and it seems like we're about to come full circle. Because the church was established in a hostile society. The church was established in a hostile, God-hating society. And that's the reason the book of Revelation is written.
That's right.
Because to the suffering saints in that first century, as the strangers were, in Pontius, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the church was established in a hostile society, and for the suffering saints, as it were, and writing to the seven churches of Asia, he's encouraging them to press on. Just keep pressing forward. Keep pressing on. In the face of afflictions, in the face of suffering, keep pressing forward. Paul says, I press toward the mark. I'm going to the finish line. As Brother Jeff stated, shared the story with us last night about the man in the plane crash. He was headed out of there. He had a mark in his mind, and he was going for it.
Amen.
That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, as he stated so beautifully last night, he had that goal in his mind. And he saw the results of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He saw what his suffering would accomplish. Press on, says the apostles.
Right.
Press on. Just keep pressing on, even though it seems like we are outnumbered. You ever feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
When we try to stand for what is right, we go down to the school because the teacher is at. I advocated something that is totally unbiblical and against the Word of God. And we go down to the school and we start contending for what is right. It seems that we're vastly outnumbered.
Right.
Well, let me just throw this in as a side note. If we don't like the way the government's schools are raising our children, let's get involved.
That's right. Amen.
And if possible, Amen. Let's raise our own children. And let's take responsibility for our own children and teach them what they're supposed to know. I mean, it's been proven that parent teaching far exceeds government teaching by far. Not only that, you don't have to put up with all the false garbage that they pollute your children's minds with. But if we can't do that, we can at least insulate their minds.
Yes.
And teach them the tactics of the devil,
right.
And warn them, this is what they're going to try to teach you, but that's not right. This is what's right.
Right.
This is what they're going to advocate, but this is what the Word of God says. Stick with God. Stay with God. Okay? Paul, I'm sorry, the Apostle Peter, he stepped after a hard lesson. After a hard lesson, the Apostle Peter stepped in. He stepped in the shoes of responsibility and was willing to suffer for his Lord. And he made this statement. What glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? After all, you did wrong. You intentionally, and I've had people ask me, well, why don't we as God's people, why don't we get out and march and rebel? Why don't we get out there and buck the system, as it were? Why don't we get out there and march? Why don't we contest? Well, I don't read where the Lord Jesus Christ set that example for me. I just can't find it in the Word of God where the Lord Jesus Christ got out and marched on the streets rebelling against the government of his time. Besides all that, why fight when the Lord said he'd do it?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I'd rather have him fighting for me anyway, because he can see things I can't. He can take care of enemies that I can't. Why not leave the fighting up to him? I got all the fighting I can do keeping myself pressing forward. I've got all the fighting I can do pressing forward. And the Apostle Peter says, Now, church, elect, church, listen to me. You're going to be opposed. You're going to be facing opposition. You're going to be living in a hostile society.
Right.
But here is your best way to get through it.
Yeah.
Here is your best way to get through it. Don't rebel. Don't buck the system. Well, let's just use his words. He makes this statement. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
Right.
Why do we do it? For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Whether it be that the king is supreme, or to governors, or to them that sent by him, punishment of evildoers and the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Meaning by that, we got this city over here that's on fire, marching, riots, a total chaos. And we have another town over here, and that's costing us. It's costing us tremendously. Not just financially, it's costing us tremendously. Then we have another city over here where there's obedience, there's law-abiding citizens, there's peace, there's family unity, there's freedom. Which one do you think we need to pattern ourselves after? Wait a minute. Now, maybe there's something to what these people are advocating. Here's a group of saints that get along with each other. They love each other. They dwell together in unity. They work together. They work together in their communities. They help each other. They have compassion, as we've heard. They have mercy on each other. It's just a good civilized environment. What's the problem here? You see, this first, put yourself in the place of this first century church that was in a hostile society, and persecution and afflictions was guaranteed. And Peter says, just now, if the government tells you to do something immoral, that's where we draw the line.
Amen.
We draw the line right here.
Right.
If the government commands you to do something immoral, we draw the line. And the test may come, and it may come soon, of who is really, really a Christian indeed, or a Christian in lip and tongue service. It may very well come soon. You see, if my little girl, I don't have a little girl, but if I had one of these pretty little girls, and she was playing on the basketball team, and they told me that the boys had the same right to go in her, into the shower locker as she does, I'm drawing the line, friends. I'm drawing the line right here, because this is not going to happen to my little girl. And there's where I'm going to have to take charge. And I say to you little girls, don't go along with it. I say to you boys, don't go along with it.
Right.
You see, Brother Chris, somebody God may use you as an example at school.
That's right.
He might, and I don't mean to embarrass Brother Chris. I just love him to death. But the Lord just might use you. Say, this is wrong.
Right.
And after all, it doesn't matter. We have a tendency, right or wrong, to get followers. You ever notice that? Somebody in a congregation stands up and everybody stands up. What are you standing up for? I don't know. The other guy stood up. Somebody starts applauding. Everybody starts applauding. What are we applauding for? I don't know. He starts applauding. See, the same thing happened. Same thing happened when they was mobs saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Kill him! What for? I don't know. I don't know. Kill him!
Right.
We just have the tendency to follow suit.
Yeah.
That can be done in a good way.
It can be done
in a good way.
Yeah.
Be a leader to good. That's what the Apostle Peter is telling the first century church. Just behave yourself. They'll have no charges against you if you'll just behave yourself and submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And then he makes the statement, well, for what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults? I don't like that four-way stop they put down there, so I'm just not going to stop. Well, you can rebel, but that's not very honoring to God. Even breaking the ordinances of man, that's not honoring to God. Well, I don't like this ordinance the city passed. Well, if it's not immoral, go along.
Right.
And if there's enough of you that don't like it, then get together and change it. Until God's people start sticking together, we're outnumbered. Until God's people start sticking together, we're outnumbered. Now, the Apostle Peter says, it's no honor and glory to God if you be getting in trouble for doing wrong. However, he said, if you do well and suffer for it, if you do well and suffer for it, this is honor to God. You take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And then he makes this, he points back to this illustration, for even here unto are you called.
Right.
You see, from the very outset, the Lord calls people in the establishment of His New Testament church, He calls people to show forth His honor. And He says, even here unto are you called. Listen to what He says. For even hereunto are ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Here's the ultimate example. While we have the Apostle Peter, while we have the Apostle Paul, also being examples, we'll get to one of them in a moment. Here's the Apostle Peter says, hereunto are you called, that we should suffer for His cause. Christ has left us an example. And then he makes this statement, who did no sin, there's no guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, who when he suffered, he threatened not, but here's what he did. He committed himself to him that judges righteously.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's what we must do, friends. We must commit ourselves to him that judges righteously.
That's right.
There's the example for us. That's the ultimate example for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, no guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. In other words, he didn't, the saying goes, I don't get mad, I get even. No, friends. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, and I just love that phrase. We're dead to the condemnation of sin. We're dead to the damning effects of sin, to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are, not can be, not might be, not might will be, but ye are healed.
Amen.
By his stripes,
right,
we are healed.
Amen.
For ye were as sheep. Notice what that does not say. You were as goats, but now you're sheep.
No.
Brought back to the fold.
No.
A sheep is not a converted goat, friends.
Amen. That's right.
A disobedient sheep is not a goat.
Amen.
A sheep is a sheep.
Yeah, right.
And a goat is a goat. And they're used in the scripture for the purpose of showing wickedness and God's little children.
Yep.
For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop. Not going to be, but are. Legally, we've been returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Now, with that understanding, the quote, the words of the Apostle Paul, ye are not your own.
Right.
You're bought with a price.
Yeah.
See, we get this idea that I'm my own person, I'm my own man, I can do what I want to, when I want to, how I want to, where I want to, whatever it is, I can do it. I'm my own boss. Well, I got news for you, friends. You're not your own. Even if you're not one of God's children, you're still not your own. Let me see you stop the white hair from coming in. Let me see you stop the wrinkles from coming in. Let me, as the old fellow that I worked for one time, he called him the Grim Reaper. Let me see you throw him away from your house. When the Grim Reaper comes after you, you're not your own. He's coming for you. You're either bought with a price or you're sold under sin.
Right.
Bought with a price or sold under sin. You are not your own. If you really were your own, well, it's my body. I can do what I want to. No, it's not. Let me show you how preposterous that is. Let me see you add 1 inch to your stature.
Yeah.
2 inches. Let me see you change the color of your skin.
Yeah.
Let me see you change your race. Never been sick, have you? Oh, of course. You mean you were sick on purpose? Don't make sense. You, what are you talking about? Well, you said you was your own. It's my body. Why did you allow sickness to come in there? Well, don't make sense. Friends, you're either sold under sin or you're bought with a price. Paul said, you're not your own, to the church at Corinth. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, your spirit, and in your body, which are God's.
Amen.
You know, I'm kind of thankful. I've kind of got attached to this body. I really kind of got attached to it, and I'm looking forward to the day when it'll quit hurting. When it'll quit getting sick. When they'll have no more diseases, as was described so beautifully last night. When there'll be no diseases. There'll be no tears. I'm looking forward to that day. I believe that this body, vile as it is, according to the scripture, vile as it is, this body, and that body that you're living in, that I'm looking at, I believe that that body is coming out of the grave, because it was sown in corruption and it shall be raised in incorruption.
Yeah.
It was sown in weakness, it shall be raised in power. It was sown a natural body and it shall be raised a spiritual body.
Yeah.
That body's coming out of the ground, friends.
Yeah.
That loved one you put in the ground that you might still be weeping for, that loved one you put in the ground is coming back out of the ground with that body. I don't know what it'll look like. John said, It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, my friends, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to press toward the mark. It makes me want to press toward the mark. That's the goal line. That's the goal line, friends. I want to press on toward the mark. And I want to be looking. But notice what the Apostle Paul, telling the young minister Timothy. Watch thou in all things and endure afflictions. You're going to be a follower of the Christ? It doesn't matter whether you're a minister or not. You're going to experience some afflictions.
Yes.
If you're going to stand for what is right in a hostile world, in an absent God-minded society, if you're going to stand for what is right, you're going to suffer afflictions. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I, Paul says, I'm getting close to the goal line. I'm getting close to the finish line. I'm getting close to the end. And I am now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I want to tell you, friends, to breathe out your last, when you're on your deathbed, and to breathe out your last, your family might not hear it, your doctor might not hear it, but you can hear that voice. I believe that for the people that die in faith, there is that voice saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think there's a peace to those that die in harmony and in fellowship with the Lord, that those that die out of fellowship, and don't get it in your mind that a person cannot die out of fellowship with God. That's heresy. That a person cannot die out of fellowship with God. I can name you prominent figures in the Old Testament that died out of fellowship with God. Right. It doesn't make them any less God's children, but they forfeited the peace that the Apostle Paul is expressing right here. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I am now ready to be offered up.
Right.
There's a peace to the faithful child of God.
Amen.
That those who dropped out of the race won't experience.
That's right.
And he says, henceforth there is a laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Does the thought of his glorious, triumphant appearing, do you love it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get to think about it, I just can't really wait. What you waiting on, Lord? Come on. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Lord, come on. Tired. He says, now there's a laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You say, wait a minute. Now, y'all don't believe in crowns. I believe in this one. God's going to crown every one of his children with righteousness. That's going to be the crown of their life. That will be the crown of the life of the child of God, is to be crowned with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning by that, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we've run and we've finished our course. And through Him, the victory's won. Through Him, the victory's won. But not just for the Apostle Paul, but unto all of them that love His appearing. Do you love the thought of His appearing? How do you see Him coming back? Subject to time and space? Subject to the laws of the universe? No, friends. No. Do you see Him coming back in weakness? No, friends. He went away. The way He went away, He's coming back the same way. He went away triumphant. He's coming back triumphant.
Amen.
And He's going to receive unto Himself all that He purchased with His own blood. I've stated to God's people many times, if nothing frustrates me more than to buy something and not get what I paid for.
Yeah.
Deceptions upon deceptions are in our markets today, because we always want to hide something behind a volume, behind a cover, or you buy something and you find out the package is not half full. It just It just disturbs me that I don't get what I pay for.
Right.
And you know, they've got these real cunning ways of making scallops in a bottle and then putting a wrap around it. You can't see the scallops or a scallop in the bottom of it. And it looks like a giant-sized bottle. Well, look at this big old bottle for this price and grab it just to get it home and find it. It doesn't have near the ounces in it I thought it does. It doesn't have near the ounces in it. It looked like it did. It was hidden behind this wrapper and under the bottom. It just perturbs, I don't know about you, it just perturbs me that I don't get what I pay for.
Yeah.
I want to get what I pay for, and also want to pay for what I get. I want to be honest enough. If a clerk has give me too much change, I want to give it back.
Right.
How honoring is that to God? I hadn't had a lady tell me one time. We went off from the wife and I building the house. We went off from Lowe's, and they forgot to charge us for a $120 roll of carpet. And we was in a construction zone. Terrible, terrible construction zone. And we noticed it and said, "Well, we got to go back." You mean in this construction? Absolutely, we got to go back. We went back. The wife and I agreed. We got to go back. Make sure we paid for that because we took it. We took it. We ought to pay for it.
Right.
Christ is coming back to get what He paid for.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to say, without the loss of any.
That's right. Yes.
He's coming back to get every one of them.
Amen.
Now, here's what the apostle Paul admonished. Bear with me just a moment. Go back one more. The same apostle said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I think what the apostle Paul is saying is, I want to lay hold on what's laid hold on me.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I want to lay hold on the one that's laid hold on me.
Amen.
And he says, I don't count myself to be there yet, but this one thing I do. I'm forgetting those things that are past. And this is one of the tactics the devil will use on you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you realize that what your life has been? I mean, what makes you think God would pay you any attention, or that God would love you in the wretched life that you have lived? That's one of the tactics the devil used me.
That's
oh,
right.
you're too wretched. You're too evil. You're too wicked. Hey, no way. Go study the life of Saul of Tarsus.
Right.
I doubt there's anybody in here that's committed what he did. But he forgot it. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. Forget the things that are behind. Press forward.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Amen.
Press into the kingdom.
Amen.
Press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God. And he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now you say, wait a minute, that sounds like the Apostle Paul is boasting. No, 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 don't get it in your mind. And my little flock at home may get tired of me here emphasizing this, but I think every one of them could tell you that perfect doesn't mean sinless.
Right.
If you're looking for a sinless environment in this world, you can forget it.
Right.
If there's humans there, there's sin.
Yeah.
I'm talking about practicing sin, pretty close. And if there's no human beings there, it's still a sin-cursed environment.
Right.
Go to the jungles if you want to, but it's still a sin-cursed environment. You can't get away from sin.
Right.
If you're looking for a sinless environment, the saying goes, ain't none.
Right.
I don't know how to look, ain't none. Perfect means as many of us as grown to maturity and understand this.
Yeah, right.
Let as many of us as be perfect. You're not boasting when you say, we trust that we're matured. Let as many as of us that is be matured. Notice what he says. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be other wise minded, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, we, Nevertheless, we all, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, what we, the ground that we've gained, don't look back. That's how you get out, that's how you get run out of the race. That's how you get pushed out of the race. Don't look back. Keep going forward. And for what the ground that we've attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Harmony, unity. Brethren, be ye followers together of me. Now here was one that the Lord showed firsthand how is the best way to get to the finish line. Here's one the Lord showed firsthand how to get to the finish line. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. We have the apostles. Praise the Lord that we have His Word. We have His written Word. We have the experience of the apostles, the establishment of the New Testament church. And we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of what pleases God and what God requires of us. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you now, even weeping. And this is really, 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 really true. If you think about it, it'll cause you to weep. That there are enemies of the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Stated, I think, by someone in this meeting, Jesus says that they, to the apostles, if they've hated me, they will hate you.
That's right.
If they've hated me, they'll hate you. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. And if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you're going to have enemies. I promise you, friends, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you're going to have enemies. And it's going to be some afflictions to be suffered for His sake. But their end is destruction. That's what He says. Who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's all they think about is earthly things, timely things, things in this world, pleasures, fleshly pleasures, fleshly fun. Live it up. Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's it. That's all they think about. But He says, our citizenship. He uses the word conversation, but that word conversation can go anywhere from a verbal one-on-one conversation. It can go, most of the time means manner of life.
Right.
Most of the time the word conversation means manner of life, your conduct.
Right.
But in this place it means citizenship. Stated last night very beautifully, this world is not our home. Our citizenship is in glory.
Right.
Our citizenship is in glory. And He says our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven from whence we look. Are we looking? Are we really looking? Are we occupying our time looking and hasting to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven from which we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this, friends. Who shall change our vile bodies? I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that because I see the sufferings. I see the sufferings of the human body, and it just breaks your heart. My wife and I circled by the nursing home before we left to come over here. A little sister of the church, a little mother in Israel, in a bed in there. It's been just a sweet, sweet mother in Israel. But my friends, when we went in there to see her, she was hostile. Deterioration of the mind and of the body, she was completely hostile. That breaks the heart to see the sufferings of the saints of God. The promise of the Word of God is that He will change these vile bodies. And by the way, that word means humiliation. These bodies of humiliation. And while you're young and robust, we don't think much about it. In fact, we think we can outdo somebody else. But there'll time come when your body will humiliate you. It will humiliate you. But that day's coming when He shall change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto His glorious body.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful to think about? What a goal to press toward.
Yeah.
At the finish line, to lay down our head in peace, die in fellowship with the Lord, knowing that the day's coming when He will raise these vile bodies and fashion them like into His glorious body. Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to be clones. I don't think that's what it means. I think this body, this same body, is coming out of the grave, glorified,
amen,
like unto the Son of God.
Amen.
You know why I believe that? Because that was God's plan to start with.
That's right.
He purposed it. And what He has purposed, He is able to bring to pass.
Amen.
Let us not dwell too much on the troubles in this life. Put our minds to the... My coach told me in high school, he says, don't think about the hurting. Don't think about the suffering. Think about the celebrating the victory at the goal line, at the finish line. He said it'll get you through those sufferings if you'll just think about the celebration of the victory at the end of it all. That's what the Lord's Word tells us. That day's coming when these bodies will be raised, fashioned like after all that, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. To think that I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, that lights my fire. I don't know about you.